Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
In their house, I was introduced to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Sarah Zagorski on Focus on the Family Minute sharing how her adoptive parents introduced her to the gospel.
And that changed everything. It gave so much clarity, and to really learn from them in a discipleship kind of way what it is like to know the Savior. And that was a big aspect of my change. Also, of course, they provided for me physical needs. You know, I came to them in a torn up nightgown and a bottle that had Coke in it. When I look at that, I see so much of God's grace in that, and also the reality that they were in it for the long haul, regardless of if they would get to adopt me one day from the very beginning.
You'll hear Sarah Zagorski's story of how God healed her broken past when you stop by familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs. Just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. Many of the men had been gone from their homes on the northeast coast of Japan that day and returned that evening utterly unaware that anything remarkable had occurred. What had in fact occurred was virtually indescribable. Every house was gone. Every house was gone. No sign of life anywhere. And everything everywhere was wet, wet with ocean water. In what had been the streets lay dead fish. Along the shoreline, human corpses bobbed in the brine like wine corks. One party of astonished discoverers was greeted by an old man stumbling across the soggy landscape. Tsunami, he exclaimed over and over. Tsunami! Tsunami! And that one word told it all. The coast had been hit by what is colloquially called a tidal wave. This one in particular, 100 feet high. It had obliterated 10,000 homes, took 27,000 lives. It had struck at the height of a Shinto festival, during which many were gathered on the beaches. The last sight they beheld was recalled by a handful of terrified survivors. At first it seemed as though the sea were ebbing from the shore, and indeed for long curious moments reefs and sea life lay exposed on what had been the ocean floor. But then everyone looked up to see the advancing wall of water that appeared to stretch out forever in both directions along the coast. And the wall rose higher and higher still, and then with a burst of incredible speed, it rolled forward over the naked seabed, and it crashed into the coast, inundating it. That was the great tsunami of June 15, 1896. And even though modern seismology can detect the earthquakes at sea, which trigger such, we remain virtually as vulnerable today as we were in days gone by. The biggest on record struck Valdez, Alaska in March of 1964. The earthquake that spawned it measured 8.5 on the Richter, less powerful than the horrific Indian Ocean quake of December 2004, but the Alaskan wave was 220 feet high. And yet, despite the awesome appearance and destructive capability of so-called tsunami, there is something ultimately insidious about them. They fly across the ocean surface with terrifying speed, between 400 and 500 miles an hour. So how have they been sneaking up on us for centuries? Well, the answer lies in something that happened during the Japanese disaster you've just relived. For the men who came home to find home gone were not hunters journeying from the hills back to the coast. They were fishermen returning from a day at sea. But they had no way of knowing what had happened, even though the tidal wave had passed directly under their fishing boats. Because, you see, traveling in the open ocean even hundreds of miles an hour at tsunami is unlikely to attract much attention. And the cataclysm of June 1896 was no exception, in that until the tidal wave reached the shallow water near land, it had raced across the sea, towering 12 inches high. Now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter for Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And we're going to get back to talking about the election and the ballots and other issues. But for a minute, I'm going to talk about Cal Coast News. Last Friday, the judge did come out with a ruling. Cal Coast News won the lawsuit. If you read the Tribune article, let me just explain, it's ridiculous. First of all, the Tribune article says that Cal Coast News won, and that we had filed to have it dismissed because it was not served accurately. That's not true at all. What we did is I was sued because I wrote an article. It was primarily about John Belcher. He had lost a $3.6 million lawsuit. And the people for defrauding a client. And his wife had been part of the lawsuit, but it had found that she wasn't financially responsible for the lawsuit. Well, after the lawsuit, she filed for divorce so they could separate, they were going to separate their finances, said they had irreconcilable differences, filed for divorce, and then they both moved to Arizona together. And I had discovered that they were using different names and telling some people in Arizona said they were married, other people said they were not married. I did an article. There was one sentence in there about her that she was going by Bernot when her name was Belcher. She had legally changed her name to Belcher and put it under seal so no one, or from Belcher to Bernot, and put it under seal so no one could see it. But the fact of the matter was she was using two names. I corrected it. I said she's actually Bernot, not Belcher. And then Belcher filed a lawsuit for his wife as the attorney, suing me because she had legally changed her name and wasn't using two names. I argued it is true. She is using two names. And we had example after example after example. In journalism, truth is the biggest defense. It is, we were able to show she was using two names. Without a doubt, she was using two names. She tried to argue that she was a private person, that it shouldn't be even discussed. And the judge came out, no, your husband is an attorney, lost a big civil case. It is a public interest when an attorney defrauds his clients. And the article was not about you. It was about your husband. Well, as we filed our slap motion, and again, the Tribune should be able to read the motion and realize it had nothing to do with service, people tied to the Tribune. Now, here's the interesting thing. People tied to the Tribune started arguing, wait a minute, Clive Pender, a columnist, said, no, I've hired Ty Lewis, and we've determined it was filed late because they determined that I was living somewhere, my primary address. I have several addresses. I have a primary, my voting, my driver's license, everything. They said it was the other way around. And because of that, we filed the slap motion some days late. And they wanted it kicked out because the slap motion was filed late. So Ty Lewis, who has never met me, became involved in the case. Clive Pender, who has met me now that he was accosted me outside a coffee shop recently. They were the experts on what I do and where I go, and there was a photo put in, and they tried to make it all about what, you know, we're going to prove where she lives because of a photo. First of all, really, Ty, you were a police chief. A photo does not prove where somebody lives. Having a photo of somebody walking into a home, but it's not me anyway. Then you claim it's me in a wig, and then you make other claims, and the photo is clearly not accurate. And in the end, the judge said, I'm not going down that rabbit hole anyway. I'm not going there. And the judge went to the facts of the slap motion and dismissed it because it was a frivolous lawsuit. That was what the facts are. It had nothing to do with Ty Lewis. It has nothing to do with Clive Pender. This is about someone trying to sue media. And I believe as a retaliation, I was the one that discovered the bribery that went on from PB companies to Adam Hill, Supervisor Adam Hill. And I believe this was retaliation. And I find it very interesting that Clive Pender and Ty Lewis both sided up with John Belcher, who's under investigation with the federal government. You can't make these things up. We're not going to talk about that today, though. I'm going to be talking about that next Wednesday. I'm going to have Chris Bausch on the show. We're going to go over a number of things going on with the city, but we will go into a little bit about some of the allegations and how this group of people that has been claiming conspiracy on others actually conspired together to try to harm Cal Coast News' lawsuit. But again, that'll be next Wednesday. Today, we're going back to talking about the issue. The San Luis Obispo County clerk reporter made an error, left something out of the ballot, and then her staff then went online and tried to support her, claiming she did nothing wrong, when they really shouldn't be getting involved in an election that she's involved in, talking about her running for office in any regards. That part has been taken down off the Facebook page for the county. But regardless, there are issues with the clerk recorder's office. And I did get another text message. It said that she did start in the office in 2022, is when Elena Cano started with the clerk recorder. I couldn't remember if it was 21 or 22. And what this is about is there is a requirement with voter guides that there's six recognized parties in the state of California. One of them's the American Independent Party. If they send you their endorsements, you're required to put those in the ballot guide, the local county ballot guide. Elena Cano's office had left that out, and they hadn't put them in. So now they're having to send a postcard to everyone. They mailed it out yesterday, giving the endorsements from that. But remember, what do you think the cost is going to be of a postcard to every eligible voter in the county? It's got to be at least $10,000. I'm going to have both candidates for the seat that are against Elena Cano right now. There are other people running. That's Vanessa Rosso and Gaia Powell. I have Vanessa Rosso in the studio now. Gaia Powell is also coming in. Vanessa, thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you, Karen, for having me.
What did you think when you saw an error in this election already this early in?
I think it's compelling to think about the communication I've been having with the city, with the county of San Luis Obispo's residents, and hearing the mistakes that have been made over the years under the current county clerk recorder's leadership, it's compelling, because these mistakes, obviously, even what just happened for these people who are campaigning, like me, going out to try to get the endorsements of very large representations of the voting community. I know that many of the candidates that were not included on this American Independent endorsement, they were definitely traveling up and down the state of California, up and down their districts that they're campaigning in, putting forth the effort, putting forth the energy, and to be left off the endorsement list is, I think, a public shame. So I think it's really disenfranchising to the voters to not know what work they've done to get the endorsements that they have. And I think it's very compelling to think about the people who will not have this information, because I would like to try to get this information out to the voters as quick as possible. And I know that this postcard, apparently, that's going to be sent, well, let's see what the date is that that's going to arrive in your mailbox, because the fact is, I believe from what I'm hearing from people who have voted, they've already put in their ballots, and the mail-in ballot obviously can be accepted right away. And so a lot of people have just taken that convenience without even knowing these endorsements. And this is definitely even on the Republican ticket as well. I'm not endorsing either side or anything. I'm just noticing that they didn't have the right candidates in their columns as well. So we're just seeing that a lot of the candidates were left off of their endorsements, which they are definitely entitled to be showing under those documents in the voter guide.
And then the other thing that has happened here now also is that her staff got involved with putting things on the social media account of the county. There are rules. You can't use anything tied to the county or any county time. And county staff should not be, or it's unlawful for them to promote anything on a ballot, whether it's a measure, a candidate. They are not allowed to promote anything on a ballot with use through the office. So the county clerk recorders has its own Facebook page. And then you had Linda George, local Paso Robles resident, Linda George, made a comment about this error that was made, that the clerk recorder said, you know, we're fixing the error. And she made a comment that it shouldn't have happened. And then you had the public information officer. Now, I want you to remember what that is. That's someone paid to promote the office and fix anything that's going wrong. So the public information officer then goes on to the Facebook page and she says, it was the absolute opposite of dereliction of duty. As a matter of fact, as I watched it unfold in person, I thought how fortunate SLO County is to have Elena in the role, and what an absolute bleep show things would be in the future if there was an inexperienced person in her place. She is promoting her boss and her boss staying clerk recorder using public resources. What did you think when you read that?
It's obvious that I have already seen this multiple times through the county recorder's banner that Aaron is posting these solicitations for Elena Cano's candidacy. So my honest opinion is that obviously I've asked her, please don't post these on the social media website for under the county clerk recorder's banner, because you're using our taxpayers' money to endorse or solicit Elena Cano's candidacy. And she has written apology letters. The public information officer has written apology comments inside. Oh, I'm sorry. I did not know I was on the social media site under the banner of the county clerk recorders. I thought I was on my lunch break and I was posting, but indeed that's not the case. So of course she's trying to back out of a situation that could very well be misrepresented in the public.
And here's how, and here's what, again, the public information officer for for the county clerk recorder, Erin Clausen. She also said, by the way, Elena won't say this, but I will. She had nothing to do with the error made, yet she absorbed responsibility for it fully, immediately, and publicly. Also, because she is on the ballot, the rest of the staff had taken ownership of the pieces of this election, not typically theirs. While I was frustrated with the staffer who made the error, I am proud of all of us for handling the entire election as we have. Come in and see for yourself. As you know, it's your right. Okay, here's the thing. First of all, she's on every other ballot of the major elections. Every 4 years, she's on the ballot. She is supposed to have staff trained to do this. To claim because she's on the ballot that she couldn't do this correctly, I don't think she does. It's her job is to run the department, is to oversee everything and have it run smoothly. Not only every 2 years, it's every 4 years. Every 2 years when you have a major election, you have to run things correctly.
And I really, during the candidate forum that we had represented by, put on by the League of Women Voters, Elena specifically had said that her team would not be well without her leadership. Well, in my opinion, that is not the qualifications of a strong leader, because your team should be able to manage just well, because you've trained them right and you've given them the tools to work with without you standing above them. So in my opinion, what's happened is you can already see what happens when she steps out of her role. Her team does not perform to the maximum standards. So I know that producing a well-oiled machine means that everyone knows their part and is trained well in their part and will not misrepresent their part. So seeing her in this role as County Clerk Recorder, this is the leader of the election process. And for her team to not be able to function without her, I think is a very difficult way to present leadership.
We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we will be back with more with Vanessa Rosso.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Lauren Simonetti, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages ending mixed, but the NASDAQ and S&P 500 notched new record closes as investors digested a hot wholesale inflation report for April. The producer price index, which tracks inflation before it hits consumers, surging 1.4% from March, which was the highest level in nearly 4 years, and 6% annually. Tech was the best performing sector. The Magnificent Seven big cap tech stocks were mostly higher, and shares of NVIDIA and Google parent Alphabet and Apple hit all-time highs. And the Senate confirming Kevin Warsh as Federal Reserve Chair, bringing new leadership to the powerful central bank. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, Johnson & Johnson, and NVIDIA. The Dow decliners, Home Depot, Caterpillar, and Sherwin-Williams. The Dow falling 67 points, the NASDAQ higher by 314, S&P 500 up 43. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
You know, protecting your home should not be a headache. Many security companies, they lock you into these multi-year contracts. No, SimpliSafe Home Security, they do things differently. With SimpliSafe, you get award-winning 24/7 professional monitoring around a buck a day without any long-term commitment. SimpliSafe, they just want to earn your trust every day by doing a great job. Right now, you'll get 50% off your custom system by going to simplisafe.com/Hannity. Half off when you go to simplisafe.com/Hannity. And remember, there's no safe like SimpliSafe.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Midstate Precious Metals is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Atascadero, across from the movie theater. If you're looking for an appraisal or quote, on your gold or silver, go see Ron at Midstate Precious Metals for a free quote. With gold and silver at an all-time high, this is the time. They are one of the highest-paying bullion dealers on the West Coast, and they can walk you through the steps to buy and sell with no commitment. Check them out at MidstatePreciousMetals.com or stop by anytime in Atascadero, Tuesday through Friday.
Serving San Luis Obispo County for your weed abatement needs, your best bet is Ken Silva. From half acre to 25 acres, integrity, hard work, and quality service. Mowing accomplished with tractor and flail mower, which is cost effective and more efficient. Clean it and cut it with Ken Silva. Free estimates. Call or text Ken Silva, 805-459-6011.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Right, today we are talking about the error over in the clerk recorder's office. We have Vanessa Rosso on the show. We also have Gaia Powell coming in. She has hit traffic. She will be here shortly. We're also taking your phone calls. If you would like to make a comment or ask a question, call 805-238-5775. 805-238-5775. We'd like to hear from you. I don't know. I know things are more difficult than they used to be. I know they are. But I was really surprised that the grand jury wrote them up for not having a policy, policies written out. I'm wondering if they're planning, if they've done that. Have you heard? Do they now have a policy handbook?
Well, what's very interesting is because of the disenfranchisement of me not being able to work a poll and a precinct was because of their office policies. So now that I'm seeing that the grand jury did not find a policy book, I'm compelled to think there is no policy book and they're just making these policies up as they go. Because even with the Shandon and Creston vote center that was out, or the precinct that was out there that was shut down, it was said because of office policies. So I'd really like to see this policy book that has disenfranchised so many of us voters and residents of the San Luis Obispo County.
And explain a little bit more to our readers. So in the past, they let the League of Women Voters, which it is supposed to be nonpartisan, but it's almost everyone in it is a registered Democrat or declined to state. I don't even know if they have any Republicans in the leadership. And then they had some Republican groups that also did the polls, but now they've stopped some of the Republican groups, and it's basically the League of Women Voters, correct?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm not too familiar of who gets to work the polls and who does not. But I do know that I've heard from the community that it does tend to favor one side to the other. And it's embarrassing, to be honest, because there's so many great people who do want to work the polls. But like me, they've been disenfranchised, not being able to. And there's such a long list of people who want to work, and yet they're still crying out, hey, we need poll workers. We need poll workers. When you have people who are ready and willing, but they're more side one side than the other. So I can see that they are playing a favor to one side or the other, which is very disenfranchising to the community.
And that's one of the main complaints that I've heard over Elaine Kano in the past. People believe that she's too political. I think she's, is she declined to state currently or is she registered Democrat? You don't know.
I know that she's been endorsed by the Democratic Party of San Luis Obispo County, stating that they had never endorsed a candidate before and they're probably endorsing Elaine Kano. So it's honest to say that we look at the parties who have endorsed our campaigns to take ownership of who they are and what they represent in our campaign is basically they found us to be the right one for their leadership. And I think of all candidates who look for endorsements, and unfortunately that these people who have found their endorsements through the American Independent Party were not even listed in that book of the voter guide, and which is very sad because that's disenfranchising. By the time the entire San Luis Obispo County knows of this, the election process will possibly be over. Now, my question is, how much is it going to cost to send out this special postcard? Well, Tuesday morning, they're having a Board of Supervisor meeting, and I encourage people to be there to find out that money.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask our guest today?
Well, it's just a general thing. She could respond to this, though. But, you know, we see all this gerrymandering on both sides and everything else. But somewhere in there, if I remember right, with our founding fathers, wasn't there something to the effect that there's no taxation without representation?
Absolutely. And that is indeed what King George III set out to do and why they rebelled and why we had the Boston Tea Party. Because the fact is, our patriots stood before us. The fact is, what we're doing right now with our community is disenfranchising us. And I'm really compelled to think about how people have played into this county clerk's office as like, this is the absolute best that we have in the county, which is compelling because there has to be change. There has to be organization. There also has to be high level of leadership, high level of organization. So it's basically to think about the changes that need to come to this office to bring that policy book into play where we do completely see the laws, the rules, because this office is not governed by policy. It's governed by law. And that's what we need to abide by when we represent the voters.
Let me just add one thing here. I know you're talking about this here locally and things like that, but the reality is nationwide, why hasn't anyone brought this up and challenged this all the way to the Supreme Court with all the gerrymandering going on? That there are cases, you know, there are some states where there's not one person on a political side when 40% of the population is that side. Now, to me, that is, you're trying to tax without representation.
That's
and
right.
This is nationwide.
Yeah, I agree with you, and that's compelling policy. That I'm glad that I do not have to deal with policy. I'm glad that I have to just deal with the law, because policy, I think, is very opinionated, and we have to stick with the law. That's how I represent the county clerk recorder's office. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That's all I want to say.
Thank you.
And we do, Gabe. Sorry about the traffic issue. Thank you for coming into the studio. Did you plug that in? Thank you for coming into the studio.
Yeah, thank you
and,
for having me.
Doing this today. What did you think when you saw this error come out? You know, and I'm going to bring up something kind of interesting about this right now. One of the things they put other parties in, for example, they added the Libertarian Party, and they had only one endorsement that was for governor. They had the Republican. First of all, the Republican Party of California, they did not have their, you might have to turn the, they did not have their meeting beforehand, so they have almost no endorsements. They have a few here and there. The Democratic Party doesn't, you know, they have some endorsements, but they don't have all their endorsements. They don't have a governor endorsement. The American Independent Party and the Green Party had a lot of endorsements. So it was, if you're going to be putting in endorsements and you get a group that gives you a whole list of endorsements, and then you have other ones that just say no endorsement, no endorsement, it just seemed odd. What did you think when you saw this latest error?
Well, nothing, you know, really surprises me when I see errors at our county clerk recorder's office, which is one of the reasons I was inspired to run for that office. I think that it's definitely a pattern, obviously. So just, we cannot have the county clerk's office be so disorganized. When I first filed papers to run for office, I reached out to them and asked them for their standard operating procedures, and they basically told me they didn't have any, or they didn't have one, and then they sent me some links. So it doesn't surprise me at all. The fact that our county clerk recorder, I believe, has become a liability. I mean, we can talk about how much it costs to send out duplicate ballots, you know, that fiasco, but also, you know, with her interjecting herself in, like what Vanessa was saying, with the being on Facebook and posting and utilizing those platforms to promote herself is also just completely irresponsible and unethical. But and also using the media, like having these relationships with the media, and in my case and Hunter Breeze's case, you know, her basically the investigations against us or about us were days old, and she literally let the press know that we were both being investigated for fraud. Like, how do you even conclude that and get it out to the press? So she interferes, and when you do things like that, you open up the county to liability. So I am suing her for that, and that's going to possibly cost the I'm suing for $1.5 million for election fraud.
Have you already filed a lawsuit?
Oh, absolutely. I filed it months ago. It's in federal court. It's 1983. It's under the color of law when people are using their positions of power to trample over the constitutional rights of individuals. And that's what she did. I mean, she interfered in my election and Hunter Breeze's election by doing so. So, again, being a liability. And then the other thing that's going on is that I have requested public records from the county and from her about me, and they refuse to give them to me. They say it's not in the best interest of the public. So I'm now suing them, meaning the county and Elena Kano, in civil court locally to get those records. So they're having to pay LA lawyers, a fleet of them, and also having to deal with having the lawyers up here representing the county and Elena trying to fight me and getting public records that are about me. So, yeah, just liability and a lot of money.
What's interesting, what I found out, is that to pay for this extra postcard that needs to be mailed out for the voter population to know about the endorsed candidates, they're using money that was left over, Elena said, from the funds from the special election. She said they had extra money in that fund that they're going to use to mail out these additional postcards. So what's compelling to me is I've been trying to push for modernization of the vote system, and they claim that they don't have enough money to fund that. So what's surprising to me is, why wouldn't they be using this money towards the modernization of the voting process? And that was compelling to me. So talking about, you know, the things that have taken away the money from the ability to move forward in the county clerk's recorder's offices because the mistakes that they have made. And that's where our money is going. That should be used towards modernizing vote process. Or
and I couldn't disagree. Like, I couldn't disagree with that more. I can't speak to the budget and what she has that she has available when there is an emergency. I would assume that that is budgeted in, and that's wise. But having a standard operating procedure is a no-brainer, just like Chuck Bell said earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, that's outrageous. But I believe that we could save a lot of money for our county to go back to common sense elections and have our elections be guided by the constitutional, the constitutions of the state. I mean, I'm a very proud California, and I'm going to fight like hell to get legitimate elections back and take it away from this incompetence that is just rampant in our county, but in particular in the county clerk's office. And modernizing the system just costs us another fortune when we should be going back to being more community-minded, knowing who's in our community, insisting on voter IDs and whatnot. Everything that Elena Kano is doing with all the machinery and the electronics costs us a fortune. The software updates, it's outrageous. So I cannot wait to get in there and doge that place. I've been doing that for 30 years, and I thrive in uncovering complete incompetence and tightening up systems.
And one of the things that has also cost money, and Gay, as you were saying, there is an issue with transparency and records requests. You're not the only one. You had a guy that had asked for information. What was his name? Shiloh Marks. Mm-hmm. He had to file a claim against him for not giving it to him. And after he filed a lawsuit, a claim against the county, they gave him the records. Then you had, during a recount, you had Darsha Stebbins ask for records. She also had to fight them, and they had to go to court. This is the cost of these lawsuits. The cost.
Yeah, I'm glad we're making
things.
The lawyers rich.
Why not just give the records to people?
Where's the transparency?
The goal should be complete transparency.
Absolutely, they work for us, and we need to make sure that they're following their oaths. They're honoring their oaths to the Constitution, and we need people in. We need to overwhelm the vote. Please get out there and vote, vote, vote. That's the only way to change this incompetence from from Sacramento all the way down. And we need to put back in our safeguards that our Constitution protects us from this exact type of overreach, tyranny, whatever you want to call it. But I believe Elena, I think obviously she's incompetent, and I have my own Rumble channel, and you can go on Gaia Powell on Rumble and watch a video that I filmed at her counter, and you will see the complete incompetence yourself, but it has nothing to do with the people involved. It has to do with the lack of leadership.
We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we will be back with more with Vanessa Rosso and Gaia Powell.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and 2 sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finish work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
Junior, you know why my TV is turned down so low? Last week, I went down to see Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast. He's a nice young feller who tested my hearing. He had me try on these nearly invisible hearing aids. See? They ain't got no buttons or nothing. By gum, I hear like I'm 29 years old. Call Peter at Hearing Aid Specialists. Dial 805-460-7385. Or use your smartphone and go to SlowCountyHearingAids.com.
Get ready for nonstop live entertainment at Tachi Palace. Grab your tickets now at TachiPalace.com and don't miss what's coming up. May 22nd, Jump, the ultimate Van Halen tribute. May 23rd, comedian Ralph Barbosa live. June 5th through 7th, the Indigenous Tattoo and Music Festival with the Res Made Car Show. And June 20th, Kings of the West, featuring Warren G, The Game, and Exhibit. All shows are on sale now, so don't wait. Tachi Palace, where all roads lead to fun.
If you need a great, easy place for lunch, try the Spirit of Paso Robles in the River Oaks neighborhood. There is plenty of parking, and it's just a couple minutes from downtown Paso. Some of the locals' favorites, grilled prawn cob salad, cowboy Cuban with brisket and pulled pork, smash burger with 2 patties, the very popular beer-battered fish and chips, and shrimp tacos. Great lunch and easy parking, and the patio is pet-friendly. The Spirit of Paso Robles, right in the middle of River Oaks Golf Course.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vili, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Tomorrow I'm going to have John Pashon on the show. We're going to go over a number of issues with the county, and we're also going to look at this issue with water in South County. Water is a big resource, and they're fighting to, should the water go to the fish or should it go for fire and people drinking? That's the question. And there's a lot of other issues here, but we'll be discussing that tomorrow. I want to make sure I can get both of you guys to respond to a question. And I'm going to ask you first, Vanessa. What would you do differently so all these faux pas do not happen? And we only have about, We have about 5 minutes each. What would you do differently? And how can people get hold of you and look up what you stand for? So first, what would you do differently than Elaine Kano?
So one of the things that is compelling to me is the lack of leadership and the lack of organization. So indeed, that's what I bring, is a high level of leadership and a high level of organization. And coming into this county clerk recorder's office, the main thing I'd like to, my objective in coming into this office is to be able to provide a modern election system, because I believe the modern election system has streamlined the election process to where voters can actually come into any precinct and they can vote their ballot. This is on a piece of paper that's printed by the electronic poll book, recognizing their signature and their district. And so this is something to streamline the election process. It will be a paper ballot that will be printed. It will be handed to you, and you can go into the vote booth, vote your ballot, and then put it right back into the ballot box. How many hands touch the ballot? Two. When it gets back to the county clerk recorder's office, it will be taken out of the box, and it will be counted under surveillance lights in the county clerk recorder's office. That's the streamlining of the process. The other thing that I'm implementing is what's called a vote center. And the vote center, indeed, is where you can vote your ballot at any precinct. So if you live in South County, you can vote your ballot in North County. That's what a voter center does. So at the current moment, they're going to be implementing an electronic poll book. And it's not being used to its full functionality. So it might confuse some of the people, as what Aaron Clausen said on the social media site, because they are not using this to its full capability of what I've been talking about for my candidacy. So the electronic poll book is the operational device that can recognize your signature. It can verify your address along with your zip code to be able to print your paper ballot. And this will help to mitigate the excessive resources that are spent by mail-in ballots and not being able to bring your mail-in ballot back to the precinct. But we can allow the mail-in ballot to come back to the precinct, because mail-in ballots are the law. We have to go with what the law says. We can't set our own laws without this ability to understand what we have to work in the ramifications. So the bigger picture, what I'd like to also bring to this, is the organization of the skills that the county clerk recorder's office staff has. And each level of the county clerk recorder's office, as well as the titles of property, have to be addressed as well. Because there have been some concerns out in the community about the protection of their title of their property. So I need to do that as well, to make sure that that's implemented to take care of the postcards that will be mailed out as well.
Okay, I'll let you know what I'm going to do. Probably the exact opposite of what Vanessa's going to do.
Wait, hang on. I got 5 minutes, right?
Well, no, we don't have 5 minutes, because she didn't have as much time, because you were 10 minutes earlier.
Just the last thing I was going to say is where to find me, and that's on my website at Vanessa Rosso, SLOclerkrecorder.com. Or my phone number, 805-709-0624. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so you can find out all my platform and what I stand for. I'm a constitutional candidate. And go to Gaia4clerk.com. And you can find out a lot of information and what I plan to do there. But I have 30 years of business experience, where I'm a business consultant. People hire me to come in and doge their companies and re-engineer them, get them back on track, make them profitable and productive. And that's what I plan on doing with the county clerk's office. I would do everything different than what's Elaine is doing. I mean, her staff doesn't seem to really have any leadership at all. And I am a proven leader. I'm highly respected by a lot of high profile people and businesses, etc. But this is the biggest difference between me and Vanessa is I feel like Vanessa is very similar to Elena. I mean, she's basically wanting to do exactly what Elena wants to do. So I will abide by state law as I aggressively fight for reform. When I'm elected, I will stand for the Constitutional Republic, which defends my constituents, which is you. So we want to take our state back. We want to take our independence, our sovereignty back as a county so that we get to decide how we want to vote and what process we want to use. So I stand strong for voter ID required, U.S. citizens only, clean and accurate voter rolls, in-person voting with paper ballots, absentee ballots cause chaos and corruption, period. Even President Carter warned about that. And getting back to finances, it's very, very costly. So absentee ballots only for proven, verified needs, same-day voting, same-day results, full transparency, much more North County clerk office accessibility. And I plan to implement civics and election process education. So I think that's very important. I think we've, you know, lost our rudder, our moral compass in our schools, obviously. They don't even teach civics anymore. We need to, I will be reaching out to all of the institutions that teach, but especially the younger kids. They really need to feel that they're empowered with the education and how important it is to be a Californian and an American and be proud, and how absolutely critical it is to be involved in politics. Because if you are not involved in politics, then you are destined to be ruled by idiots. And that's exactly what we're experiencing. And so we want to take communist California. We want to get rid of that. And the only way to do that is to overwhelm the vote, get out there and vote conservative. Independents, please, you know, stand behind the conservative candidates so that we can, do what we did across the whole country. Our state is in shambles. So I will fight for having legitimate elections so every vote counts and they will have confidence restored. And did you want to ask me any questions, Karen? Or
no, I just wanted you to go over what differences you would make.
Right. So I'm a proven leader. So what I do is I go in, I assess, I interview everybody on the staff. I get to learn who they are, what their capabilities are, what their talents are, and what their hopes and dreams are, so that I can help empower them. But anytime I have a staff, they know exactly what is expected of them. It's all written down for them. They don't have to guess. And like what I had mentioned when I went to the counter and those poor ladies were trying to let Julie Tozzano know why she got duplicate ballots and a postcard saying that they automatically registered her, even though she hadn't even registered to vote. They didn't know any of the answers. They were very confused. They were telling her to use a ballot that was sent to her office or that she could vote from a hotel. And they were doing the best they can, and it actually hurt my heart for them. And they told me that they told us that Elena would get back to us by the end of the day. Well, she didn't. And I actually put in a public records request and I didn't hear back from her for 9 months. I went to the Board of Supervisors meeting twice and complained. And then she finally responded. So that's not leadership. And we all, obviously, even on today's show, you can just see that there's incompetence and we need change and we need strong leadership and change that reflects the constitutional republic. And vote for me if you want someone who will fight for your rights, for that the protections of that constitution, because that's the only way we save our state. I feel like we're not even a part of the United States. And so many people have actually fled California to get back to the United States. And that breaks my heart. So if you want to have legitimate elections and you want someone who's going to fight for your rights, even at my own personal peril, I will do so. So I hope I can count on your vote. Again, go to GAIA4Clerk.com. Thank you so much.
And I'm going to let Vanessa respond to your statement that you believe she's the same as Elena Kano.
The truth in saying that, I believe, is you see the vote center as Elena's idea. Indeed, it's...
No, I do not. Don't put words in my mouth.
Let her talk. She didn't interrupt you. Let her finish her statement.
What's compelling to see that the vote process needs to be modernized. And with the modernization brings organization. Because obviously the votes are counted in a way that people have to understand there is a machine that a lot of people are against. But this machine is used up and down the San Luis Obispo, as well as out throughout the state of California. I'm not trusting machines, but I'm going to get in and make sure that everything that is used in that county clerk recorders is accurate and I'm not afraid to blow a whistle if something is not being accurate. The fact is what I want to do is modernize the election system to enable people to vote anywhere in the county on a paper ballot using their time. Because the people here in San Luis Obispo, the dynamics and the population has changed. And we want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to vote in person and not be disenfranchised by the time that they need to get away from their families to vote.
That's the end of the show. Thank you for listening in, and thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.